Hello, and welcome to the ScotchCast. My name is Conrad Kirby, a.k.a. Thurlton, and I'm pouring myself a nice Wildcraft Cider Works, because someone has to get drunk on this show.
I'm pretty sure two of the three of us are drunk on this show.
Yes. thrown across the table to one of the other two hosts, New Brahma. What you been up to today?
I've been drinking since 6 a.m.
Oh, what time is it now?
It's 10 p.m. I just stopped. My last drink was about 45 minutes ago.
You always go on some like weird, like what some people would either consider like a really sad, depressing, rough thing or a truly awesome thing. The other one I want to cite is when you, I'm not sure if alcohol was involved, but it was just like you had a cake. I think it was like a cake and whiskey or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like perfect. That, actually. It was my friend's birthday, so I got her a big bottle of Bailey's and her favorite cereal, and we ate that for breakfast at 6 in the morning.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
We drank throughout the day, so we both put a bunch of alcohol in flasks and went to Value Village to shop for Halloween costumes. Went to the mall and drank in the mall. And then just drank throughout the whole day, and I'm fucking exhausted. I don't want to even look at alcohol. No, we weren't drinking like we were drinking. We put Bailey's in our coffee and stuff like that, right? So yeah, we got away with it.
Clever. And then that other voice is the all too familiar self-confessed cynic. How you doing?
I was fully intending to drink like crazy yesterday because I just had my 10-year high school reunion, which is like. A story all of its own, which I might not go into, but I didn't end up having a fucking single sip. It turns out the older you get, at least for my where I am in my life, you actually. I was too busy listening to people talking about like interesting stuff to drink, and I mean, I just never ended up drinking. It was actually kind of awesome. Like, I was up till 5 a.m. just talking to people.
Yeah, I found it's a strange thing that like you. The younger you are, you tend to just, like, go in bulk of just the worst stuff. The cheapest stuff you can find that will just get you drunk. And as you get older, you try to go for stuff that is just, like, you enjoy the taste more, or it's just, like, it's scotch. It's, like, the same amount
of Bailey's wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
Bailey's is not cheap.
The same amount of getting drunk, but just in a higher concentration. But yeah, this is the ScotchCast, where we'll be talking about video games and other things in culture and whatnot.
Will we be talking about video games?
I don't know. We got
find out.
There's a topic I will be bringing you guys later, but okay. Yeah, we'll be talking about some stuff. I guess we'll go into news first because that's always just a fun thing to start off with.
Woo!
And yeah, I see someone has prepared the stuff.
I'll run this
first bullet point.
Hell yeah!
It's the thing of I don't want to go too far into it, other than just it's been announced, and I kind of want to stay spoiler free for it. I don't know. I'm sure Sig, you have
some opinion. I don't know if you can spoil John Wick Chapter 2.
Yeah,
which is a great title. it's beautiful because it comes from it's inspired by graphic novels, right, and anime. And manga. Calling it Chapter 2 is fantastic, but that essentially the only thing I needed to say about this news topic is John Wick Chapter 2 has been announced. Watch the trailer. It's awesome. I can't wait.
Very excited.
The dog's in it.
Sweet. Of course, it had to be. It wouldn't be a John Wick movie without the dog.
Exactly.
Forget about Keanu.
It's the only spoiler I will not.
Sweet.
Next thing
very
on this news list. New Brahma, any thoughts on John Wick 2?
Keanu Reeves graduated or went to my high school for a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the first year of high school, he went to my high school, but he's a shit actor, and I'm not excited for this movie.
Did you ever see John Wick the first? Chapter 1?
I've not seen John Wick. I'm told this is the only redeeming performance that Keanu has ever given.
I would actually very much enjoy your assessment of that. You should check that out next time you sober up.
I mean, I guess if he plays an emotionless character, then he's basically playing himself.
No, so he has all the emotion. He just lost his dog. Oh. The dog was taken
I actually
from
thought he did a pretty good job, even on that front with John Wick. I don't know. I felt it. I felt it when his dog died. That was fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, in movies, like, killing the dog is, like, the easy way of being like, oh, that's terrible. Because you don't want to see a dog die.
That's not.
Unless he's being put in some delicious soup.
That's true, but also, like, it being the catalyst for the next 1.5 hours of him just going around killing dudes is kind of perfect.
Man.
It is the greatest of revenge premises.
It is so good. They killed my dog and stole my car. I'm going to kill fucking all. that's the extent of the plot in that movie. It's nice. So good.
Next news topic.
Woo! Shenmue Endurance Run has concluded.
It's done.
Wait, what? There was a new Endurance Run?
What? Are you crazy? Are you fucking...
I haven't visited Giant Bomb in almost 3
years. I forgot you went on last episode. Because it was literally like the first topic of like 2 episodes ago or something, was Shenmue Endurance Run's on.
Yeah, they brought back the Endurance Run. Dan Reichert visited the East Coast office alongside Vinny and Alex, and they marathoned Shenmue in like the month that he was there.
And it's not like a small endurance run. It's like 20-something episodes, and most of the episodes are an hour. I had a weird experience with it in that I came away with it thinking that Shenmue is a terrible fucking game, but I really want to see what happens in Shenmue 2. Just like Vinny. It was so stupid in like every respect, like pacing, fucking gameplay, like none of it worked. But something about it makes me want to see more. I want to see Shenmue 2.
I'm sure the Squiddles of the world are just like leaning back in their chairs and just Mr. Burns going, excellent.
And yeah, I'm like, if they do Shenmue 2, I'm going to play Shenmue 3. That's just how this is going to go. Like, I didn't expect this to happen, but if they do a Shenmue 2 Endurance Run, which it sounds like they're gonna.
It's the same weird thing that like has gotten me to play Metal Gear Solid 5 or V, I guess.
Yeah.
Was just yeah.
You get invested. You want to see what happens. Does he meet the weird Chinese girl in of his dreams? I don't know. Does his relationship with that girl he's like not dating ? Ever actually get solidified? We will find out. Does Tom reappear in the next Shenmue game? I don't know. But I really want to know, and we'll find out. So that's that. From there we actually have real fucking news. Like actual news items. I'll start with the smallest of the three. So, Google Pixel was a phone that was announced. But that's kind of like neither here nor there. More importantly, Google finally showed what their Daydream concept was. For people at home, this week's going to have like a fucking solid like 30 minutes of VR news coming up. Like at least, if I was to guess, it'd be a good probably 20 to 30 minutes of VR news.
Well, I mean, because they're all out now. You can go out and purchase any one of them.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. Yeah.
Well, by the time people hear this, they'll be able to go out and
probably
purchase.
Yeah. Some of that. So like the. So Google Daydream is just essentially Gear VR. Like, I'm not going to fucking go into the minutiae of differences between it and Gear VR. Like, it is, like, let's be clear, there is, like, very small, semi-important things that differentiate from Gear VR, but it's essentially Gear VR. So Google's doing that, too. Surprise, surprise. That's that news item. Was there any big takeaways? Like, does anyone really care? There were so many other more exciting things about VR this quarter.
I'll pick it up when I get my Pixel next year.
Are you actually planning on getting a Pixel?
That's probably going to be my next phone after this thing.
Really?
Looks
like kind of a waste. So expensive.
Really? How much is it? Like $800?
Yeah. For like the base model. Like, or at least here it's 1,000. But I assume over in Canada you don't have as much like fucking garbage.
Yeah. Maybe. Like
price hiking or whatever. Thurbleton, is there anything else about Dream VR? Did Google getting to the VR game?
No, I will. I will say, just like, you know, I'm sure you'll have lots of opinions over all the news topics we have that it's the next half hour. My one VR opinion is I'm kind of like taking a step back from my, I'll probably get a PlayStation VR just given the technical reviews of them.
So speaking of which,
PlayStation VR comes out maybe not this year, but maybe
so the 13th of October or 12th. I guess it's different depending on your, I don't remember. On my personal notes, I've got 13th of October. PlayStation VR is launching, but in a display of like what I hope isn't hubris, Sony had their embargo lift a couple days ago, which means we have essentially a bunch of reviews, or Verticom is like reviews of the system, and a bunch of like semi reviews of games or impressions of the games on the system. So essentially, what we have is kind of a full gamut, kind of colored in. Like before, where it was big question mark, what next to PlayStation VR, we kind of have that filled in now. So Thurbleson,
yep.
You mentioned there may have been some technical reviews of this, which may have said some things that were not quite what you'd want.
It's the thing of like it's a good base, but it's just not quite there. It sounds like it needs a little bit more polish in terms of getting that that millisecond reaction time down of like turning the head and just like the system lining up right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of interesting because the first impressions I saw was like the first hour of, because it was like 11 o'clock at night, the first hour of the Giant Bomb live stream, as they do whenever a new hardware launches, they have like a live stream of like them doing it live, looking at a bunch of the release or launch hardware and launch games to go along with it. And the weird thing is, Giant Bomb had some, as far as I can see, specific issues with VR that only one other, or maybe two, question mark, other outlets had. So the first inklings of everything being a garbage fire, it was that Giant Bomb had this thing where when they put on the headset, the entire, like, inside the headset, the entire world that you're seeing through a VR headset, like, shifts. It, like, breathes. They described it as, like, breathing. Like, the whole thing kind of, like, moves towards you and then moves a little bit away from you. And it just keeps doing that on, like, a couple-second rotation. Like, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, if you're moving your head and stuff, you see it less. But they did... But the whole... Anyone who knows with VR, like, if there's any movement happening that's not the player doing it, it kind of gives you this weird like queasiness.
Yeah, right? Your brain is not sure if it's interpreting. It makes it feel like you have like an inner ear disorder, and that like you think you're about to fall over because your eyes are telling you one thing, but your ears and your balance are telling you something different.
Yeah, and it's like there's a lot of interesting science around that of like inner ear or like balance disruption being equivalent to like the brain thinking like you're poisoned or you're like you have like alcohol or whatever in your system and stuff like that. So like it gives you this like almost immediate like physical reaction whenever like that does that. So what they had with both Brad and Jeff's units, because they did it independently, for the headset itself, you had the whole world swimming around you. So at the end of like the couple hour live stream, Jeff was like fucking dogged. Like he was just like a dog. He was like sick as hell. He kind of just had to take it off at the end of that show. Like he was a trooper through all of it. But holy cow! I think the Giant Bomb unarchived image for the thing was like Jeff with a Batman mask on and like vomit coming down his face. Like he, yeah. Anyway, he didn't do very well.
It reminded me of, I don't remember which Mario Party it was, but there was one that like over the course of the event, you could see him getting progressively sicker with a cold. And yeah,
exactly. This time it was actually just fucking because of the headset, because of the weird swimminess to do with it. So it wasn't Digital Foundry. It was Eurogamer, who confirmed that they had a similar issue on the first set they got, but they had that set replaced and they no longer have that issue. Jeff Bacalar also didn't have that particular issue. And a bunch of other outlets that I've seen, like, cursorily, this not be crazy. Every outlet has had problems with tracking with this system. But this one, which would actually make you actively sick, seemed to be like a very, very small group of people who had it. Unconfirmed whether Austin Walker. I think Austin Walker had the same thing, but I'm not sure.
Jeez.
So, it's new hardware.
Yeah.
We'll see what it's like after a couple of weeks when they get the kinks out.
Ostensibly pre-release, but like, I don't know. We don't know what the cause is because like Jambum did it with two different cameras and like stuff like that. We don't know what's happening. But then you have the other end of it, with people who have like work perfectly fine for the headset, but across the board, anything but the headset was confirmed working pretty trash. So like the Move controllers would have drift, which means like I think my favorite example was like Dan's example of him playing this like Tumble or whatever it is, like this like block stacking game. It's very similar to some of like the Move tech demos that you may have seen like a long, long time ago. But essentially, you're stacking blocks and you try to balance them and shit. But the drift on the Move controllers would be big enough that he'd be like placing like the fifth block on top of the other blocks, and the controller would just like his hand would be steady, but the block would fucking move and then knock down everything he'd just done. Or I think like the craziest example, like the one that's been made into a bunch of GIFs, is like Jeff clearly on street, like they had him in a picture-in-picture holding the controller steady, and then the main picture is showing the controller just like moving like fucking 20 centimeters in and out of the screen away from him and towards him while he's trying to hold it fucking steady in real life. Like, that's how much drift is on that controller. So yeah, this like across the board, the number one complaint was tracking for the individual components was spotty, if not like actively shit. Which is essentially a deal breaker for most people. It would be just an absolute deal breaker. If you're informed about VR, potential for the swimminess or like the whatever that is, like the weird like world shifting item failure or hardware failure, could be like a platform ending level of bad for the system. Because if people just start getting actively fucking sick when using your PlayStation VR, it's just not going to go anywhere. No one's going to buy it. So it's kind of embarrassing. Like, this is not what I expected. Like, honestly, this is absolutely not what I expected when I was looking forward to, like, the launch impressions of PSVR. And Thurbleton, it sounds like you've changed your tune.
They had one job to do. Make the video games work. Didn't have to set
exactly.
They didn't have to set up a store or, like, anything like that, but no. Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, like, that's pretty much, like, a lot of... There's a lot of people in, like, the defense wars or denial categories, as always, where people, like, wanting to see if there's a patch or something that can fix it somehow, or maybe it's just a hardware thing, and it would be, like, an isolated number of units. So far, we don't know. Like, it could be any of those things. I personally find it difficult to believe that Giant Bomb got two defective units, Eurogamer got one, and that's just, like, just off the review community I know of. I think Austin Walker might have gotten another. If that, like, same hardware failure rate is across the fucking board, that's already just, like, nah, this is all going to go to shit. This is all going to go to shit. And it's going to be spectacular. So, yeah, another potential problem for VR. That said, sadly, in my opinion, the games, the exclusive games, all look really fucking cool. So Rez looks awesome. Super Hypercube, although that's not, I don't think it's fully exclusive. I think it might be coming to PC with VR as well. It's not coming to Oculus, we know that, but it's coming to, I think, Steam VR. That looks awesome. Even VR Worlds, like a bunch of like The Getaway looks really great. It's just a thing. And those things are going to be exclusive. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen to, like, because as we all know, Sony, if something doesn't work out for them, like if they don't get pretty much an immediate return on investment for anything they do, especially when it comes to peripherals, they just fucking abandon things wholesale. So it can be very possible that this is like the only push in terms of VR software we see from Sony. So like the hopes of this being like the mainstream push for VR, it might be just ending premature, like right now. Like it might just be like never going to, it might not even take off because of this pre-launch stuff. Thoughts, everyone, before we move on?
No more than what I've added. Yeah, I don't know, like, Noob, you got anything on... being a recent inductee into, like, good video cards and all that, where do you sit on VR?
I can afford to... I mean, like, I would rather just get a Vive or whatever and be able to make my VR games look nice.
Yeah. Well...
Yeah.
That's the weird thing, though, right? Because unlike the hardware performance, the universal praise over the headset itself has been kind of like staggering.
Yeah.
So it has it's apparently the most comfortable headset, and it has apparently has less screen door effect than the other two, which is crazy to me because it's far lower resolution. But because it's OLED, they just kind of figured their shit out. So even though it's low resolution, Digital Foundry pointed out that if the developers have a good anti-aliasing implementation, the games can look just as good as PC games, like the PC VR games, and with less fucking screen door effect, which is, for me personally, the biggest problem with VR, like visually at the moment. So, fuck. Like, as Double said, they have one goddamn job. Get the tracking right. oh, well. With that, yes. I guess we'll move on to the last news item, or group of news items. Oculus, guys. So this has come up a couple times. Noobarama, you and I,
mm-hmm.
we've talked about Oculus quite a few times. We've been quite critical of Oculus.
Yes.
A lot of good, hardworking people at Oculus.
Exactly. As you said last week.
There were a lot of good, hardworking bureaucrats in the Nazi Party.
As we said last week, you can't hate a company for one person who works there, because there's way more than just the creator that goes towards anything.
You can also hate a company for the product they develop.
True. That said, however, essentially, Oculus had their like developer conference thing, which they called Oculus Connect. This is Oculus Connect 3, so I guess the third, like, I guess annual, because the last one, I think, was quite a while ago. With Oculus Connect 3, they essentially do the equivalent of an Apple keynote. And they have a two-hour keynote that's watchable on YouTube at the moment. Weirdly enough, not on their channel. You have to go to like bootleg channels that like grab other people's keynotes and put them up and like put ads all over them and are really fucking shifty and shady, which is not cool. But you can, if you look hard enough, find a uncut version of the two-hour press conference. The one I found was like literally like fucking Indonesian or something. It was like all fucking weird. The title wasn't in English and all that kind of stuff. And it was like going back to the like 90s, where I had to like pirate E3 press conferences because GameSpot had them behind like a paywall or whatever. And yes, I did that because I was like 12 years old and didn't give a fuck. So if you go out there, you can find it. But essentially, they had a bunch of news coming out of it, of which there is two really, really important, really, really excellent pieces of news, two kind of really shitty pieces of news, and then two of the other ones that are remotely big. I've just had it here as like neutral. So which do you guys want to start with? Good news, neutral news, or the bad news?
Start with the good news and end with the bad news.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. Just good.
Sure.
Good, neutral, bad.
All right.
I'd say
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So the good news is two pieces of technology that they're working on. The potentially most important VR news that was being put out this year. And that's, I guess, saying a lot, but it's like a legit, these things are huge. So the first one is more difficult to to immediately comprehend why it's important, but it's perhaps the more important of the two because it enables the second. Asynchronous space warp. So does that mean anything to either of you when I say that?
It's different from asynchronous time warp.
Yes. So at the moment, VR is assisted by something called asynchronous time warp, which is what Sony uses. All three use it. It's essentially a technology where when you can't hit your desired frame rate, whether it be 120 frames a second or 90 frames a second, depending on the headset, which is understandable because it's fucking hard to maintain that frame rate constantly, especially if there's nothing happening, suddenly there's an explosion or whatever. And then suddenly a lot of physics effects happens and your computer suddenly crunching, has no pipeline for it and all that kind of stuff. It's very difficult to maintain a rock solid 90 frames a second, even for PCs. So asynchronous time warp at the moment is essentially a rotational warping of the previous image to fill a frame while you're waiting for the next image to render. So if you think of it kind of like, it's not the same in any way, but it's like a similar kind of concept in terms of frame buffering as VSync. So you render frames normally, and as you render frames, you pump them to your headset, but the moment it realizes it can't render a frame yet, which is, I believe, what adaptive resync is based off, it notices that it's not producing the next frame fast enough. So it keeps the previous, it keeps this one's only semi-like resync. So this is asynchronous time warp. It looks at the previous frame rendered, so one frame back, and then it just warps that frame based on your headset's rotational velocity / rotational acceleration. So the crazy thing is I haven't seen stills of this. I've only heard of how it works, and I'm really fascinated to see if you can actually see the difference between the asynchronous time warp frame and then the third frame. I wanted to see how it's filling that dead time, because I haven't actually personally looked into it deep enough to see stills. But essentially it happens so fast that as long as that rotational information happens, it significantly reduces your perception of there being a problem. There being a frame that was just skipped, or even worse, a frame that was just judder, which can make you sick. But the problem with rotational time warp, which is what they're calling it, it's not really time warp, but whatever. Asynchronous time warp is that it doesn't work for translational movement. So if the whole world is moving in it's not rotating around you, but moving around you. So for example, if you were strafing, right, the world's not rotating around you. It is moving from right to left or left to right, depending on which direction you're strafing. Asynchronous time warp has been used to decrease the sickness from dropping frames due to that, but it hasn't been that great at it, because it's not made for that. It's made for rotation of you standing still and then literally just rotating your head, right? Because of that limitation, it hasn't been able to patch everything. So they put up some interesting stats during that presentation of it being 11% of frames or so are dropped during a VR session or something it was a high number, or 11 times out of the fucking thing was dropped one frame, something like that, right? And asynchronous time warp was able to solve 99.5% of the occurrences of that, which makes it way better or way easier to deal with. But it doesn't work. And so you have your ability to deal with rotational stuff, but it doesn't work for everything, so you can't use it for everything, which means that you still have to have massive system requirements, because say it isn't enough to drop you from 90 frames per second to 89 frames a second consistently or make you sick. Therefore, you have to have a computer that can run something at 89 frames a second, full stop, or 90, preferably, all the time. So asynchronous space warp is a new technology which adds to time warp. And what it does is it fixes translational movement. So say you're strafing and the whole world's moving from right to left, for example. And it does so, and going back to my vSync example, in similar way to vSync. So it holds 2 frames in the buffer at all times, but it doesn't use them to insert those frames when you skip a frame like vSync does. It actually uses them as a way of giving the processor, or whatever is doing the processing, an ability to see the difference in terms of translation between the 2 frames. So say you have like a fence post in front of you, and you're strafing around that fence post, like left to right. Oh, sorry, from left to right of the, not around, but left from left to right of that fence post. So it's moving from the right of your screen to the left of your screen. It looks at the 2 frames previous. So the first frame, it'll see it like a little bit to your right. And the second frame, it'll see it a little bit less to your right. So it's like, okay, something's moving from right to left. That allows it to generate the 3rd frame, which sounds like, oh, obvious. They should have been doing this forever. This is such an obvious thing. Like, how if they could do it with time warp, as if they couldn't do it with space warp. Well, finally they are.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I hear a butt coming, but I guess not.
No, finally they are. It's taken them... It sounds crazily easy. I bet it was almost impossible to figure out, and they finally figured it out. So it's something that should have been working from before, because it makes so much sense to be able to do this, considering they were able to do it with rotational. But now they are. But the crazy thing about that is, now that they've fixed that, instead of something being able to be interpolated from being like 89 frames a second to being 90 frames a second, they can now render VR... supposedly well at 45 frames a second and interpolate it to 90. And for people who don't know how massive a difference that is, you have to go back to John Carmack's long time ago breakdown of why VR was so hard. For people who've been around for a while, they remember that the part that's difficult about VR is how quickly you need to change the world, the rendering of the world to illuminate the, to give you the sense of presence. It has to be fast enough, right? But the problem with that is things like the speed of light or the speed of processing. Essentially what it breaks down to is all the hardware between your eyes and the computer and back add latency. So not only are you rendering to hit 90 frames a second, but everything in your way is reducing the amount of time you have to render to the point where you're looking at like fucking 9, 13 max, I think it was less than that, milliseconds to render a frame because you're trying to hit 90. But if you give someone 45 milliseconds to render a frame, that hardware loop is still the same. That doesn't slow down. So you go from like 20 milliseconds minus 7 to 45 milliseconds minus 7. So you have fucking 8 times as much time or something like some huge amount, like 13 to 30. So 3 times as much time. That's 36 or whatever. 3 times as much time to render your next frame. So there's 2 benefits. One is that a way weaker PC can render frames in a fast enough clip. Or, and this is probably what, if Sony, for example, got this technology, they would benefit from a given spec of PC would be able to render a far higher fidelity of image to VR. So that's the real importance of bringing in asynchronous space warp, is the reduction of minimum spec and the increase of potential high fidelity stuff to VR. Because, like, assuming, and I believe it would be, because you have people like fucking John Carmack and shit working on this stuff, assuming that it works. So, we now have an amazing target, 45 frames a second, which is so doable for everything. And that leads me to the second piece of good news, which is they dropped the minimum spec of the Oculus platform. So, it's built in at the SDK level, everything as Abrash, I think it was. No, it wasn't Abrash. It was the main head guy, the head honcho guy. We're saying this now applies to everything developed for Oculus. And it's, I don't know if you need to patch existing stuff, but all future things developed for Oculus will just have this stuff going. So essentially, you just straight up have a whole new group of computers, laptops, everything else now able to do computer PC quality VR with very few negatives. And that's amazing. That was like the big first piece of news. They made this new implementation of asynchronous warp, and they, by doing so, they're able to drop the minimum spec of Oculus to a like 960, something fucking old, like so easily affordable for most people. And equivalently, their computers, their Oculus ready computer, like certification, whatever, now they start at $499. So it's, aside from the fact that the headset itself is more, is like, what was it, $499, $599, something, computers that can run it are now $499, which is kind of amazing. So yeah. Nice. This enables the second piece of technology, but before we move on, thoughts. Thurbleton, what do you think about this?
I mean, it's cool that they're able to provide a wider like range of which people can choose to, like, you know, it. Prior to this type of tech, it was a thing of like, oh, well, if you want to try it and still be economical, maybe go for like the phone option, or like, you know, Google Cardboard, or like myself, PlayStation VR.
Yeah,
but with news like this, it's potentially cool. It's like, oh, I don't have to do a complete overhaul on my system, but mm-hmm. if I wanted to and I could see all the resolutions and high stuff, I could do a complete overhaul and still get some value for it. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, Noobrama, are you annoyed that you upgraded your system that you don't really need?
Well, it's not for VR.
True,
so it's okay, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I imagine like, you know, games, VR games with this are going to start looking better,
yeah.
and as a result, are going to start requiring better systems anyways. So
probably,
I don't know. So it's like, this is only going to make, it's just going to push not necessarily the requirements down as much as the games pushing the edges up.
Yeah, that's probably the part of it I'm really excited for, because I'm one of those people who, I'm fine with 30 FPS, for example. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
That's because 30 FPS games like Uncharted and stuff look fucking incredible because I have that much more time to render each frame. And this is, I can see games built for using asynchronous space warp, running at 45 frames a second that look like fucking Tomb Raider now.
Yeah. Sweet.
Running in VR as opposed to, because you have all the extra time. So you're running that, something that looks like Tomb Raider in VR versus something that looks like essentially a really high resolution PS2 game, which a lot of fucking current VR
yeah.
games. So yeah, that's the first piece of amazing news. And as I said, it leads to the second piece of amazing news. And this one is the one that's like potentially earth-shattering, aside from the fact that it's not ready yet. Inside-out tracking is the next piece of news. That's how I'll approach this topic. Like, I know that the actual thing they started with isn't quite that. They talk about like a third pillar of Oculus products or whatever. I don't give a fuck about that. What I care about is inside out tracking. So for people who don't know the general terminology, there's tracking, which is your ability to track the position of the headset and other associated items in three-dimensional space. Outside-in tracking, which is what the current things do, which is using an outside observer or emitter to enable either the headset or the computer to determine where the headset is in three-dimensional space. So we're talking about a VR camera for the Oculus stuff. That's your outside-in. Or the lighthouses for the Vive stuff. So some external thing has to be there for the tracking to work, because it requires outside input or outside processing. Right? So that's outside-in process or outside-in tracking. That's what all current VR tech is based on, aside from the ones that just use like the accelerometer in your phone, so like the Samsung Gear VR and stuff. What we've always wanted, and what we've always thought was possible in our heads was inside out tracking. Valve actually started with inside out tracking. And for people who may or may not have seen it, there was like a room they had in Valve offices, which was like covered in, at every surface was covered with QR codes. And the idea was for like the headset to have cameras that saw these QR codes and then use that to like the angular displacement of those and the like visual distortion of like them being smaller from being further away and stuff of those to figure out where you are. And obviously that's stupid. No one would actually paint a fucking room in their house.
Almost no one would do that.
Okay, almost no one.
Almost no one.
But the idea is similar, independent of what you're using to track. We are the human, like we know this works because that's how humans work. We look at an object using two eyes, and the displacement of those two eyes across the width of our head allows us to determine how far away that object is, because each eye sees the object at a slightly different angle. It's just essentially just trigonometric track on at base principles, right? You're looking at three points, which is your two eyes and the object, and you're determining distance and relative, like relativity and all that kind of stuff. By premise, it obviously works because that's how all organic species, even like things that use echolocations, it's almost the same thing with you. Well, not quite, because it's almost like an inbuilt, like external. Like, if everything emitted sound, if you had something that it was able to know how far something away is by the sound it's emitting, like if you look Daredevil, for example. You'd be able. That's kind of what that, this. That's based on this as well, which is inside out. So essentially, what this does is we don't know how it works, but apparently Facebook has a working inside out tracking system small enough to go into what looked like the Oculus headset with one addition of like a processing box at the back of the head. And I'll get to that in a second. But to me, the more important thing is, holy shit, they've got working inside out tracking. That is fucking incredible. I didn't actually personally think this would be solved for years, because think of how complex it is. You have to figure, because it's one thing to say, oh yeah, that's a lamp. It's a different thing to say, that is an object shaped like a lamp that is being identified by these two cameras, and it is displaced by this much between these two cameras because of this, because of orientation or whatever. But having to do that with multiple things in the environment, and it has to work in a room that didn't have a lamp in it, and a room which does have a lamp in it, or which does have a desk, or doesn't have a desk. And like essentially has to be... It has to learn, and it has to track, and it has to be able to do that consistently. And obviously, they're not there yet because they didn't. They said it was not a product; it's something they're working on. It's a prototype. But they just the crazy thing is, it's one thing for it to be a like fancy prototype video, but some journalists got to try it on. That's what's crazy, and apparently, it fucking works. So we have a inside out tracking system in a wireless headset, which is the second part of the amazing news. A wireless headset, and for people that know, like Gear VR and stuff, yeah, it's wireless, whatever. Because it doesn't have inside out tracking, it's not room scale. It's like it's just essentially a seated experience because all you can do is rotational. Apparently, this is good enough to have a room scale experience with a wireless inside-out tracking system, which means, for example, you could take this prototype, chuck it in your bag, take it to the park, don't need anything else, no fucking cameras, no lighthouses, nothing, and it will just fucking work. You just put it on, and you've got VR. That is amazing that they were able to achieve this. Now, there were issues. So some of the interview stuff they had on Polygon, devs were like, At the moment, it can't work in low light situations because it's using visuals. I'd assume because of that, it's using a visual. It's using photons, so it's using light, right? So it's trying to see things and using like normal image recognition, that kind of stuff. So there is obviously like potential in my head of like, okay, if you convert this to like having IR emitters and receivers, then potentially you can get it working because then you can have like, you can have things, you can have reflections with low light situations and stuff, but then it makes it difficult because some things are hotter than others. If you're trying to use IR, then it's like weird. Visual is kind of beautiful because it's its own kind of deal. Like you have, when light's involved, there's not much noise. Like if you think about it, look around your room, you with your eyes, if you can see something clearly, you're seeing it clearly, right? It is in, like, assumably in focus. There's no like visual distortion between you and it. It doesn't look like there's waves going across your vision unless you have some serious eye problems. There's no like, you can't see the air, for example, between you and it. You see it, right? That's the beauty of using visuals. It's why satellite footage is amazing, but doesn't, like, again, like the best weather satellites are dual mode IR and visual, because during daytime, visual is the best, as long as you can see things. Visual is the best way to identify stuff. You can see a fucking cyclone like from across the world. But at nighttime, it's useless because you can't see fucking anything because there's no fucking light. So stuff like that. So essentially, low light situations doesn't work. And the other half of the technology that they want to push isn't quite ready yet. So the other half is their idea is for the third segment of the Oculus, which is to have a like a standalone wireless VR system. Like think of Gear VR, but dedicated devices that are based on this inside-out tracking technology. So that's kind of the impressive part, and it links me back to Asynchronous Space Warp, because I think this is only possible because of they got that working, so they can use a much lower-end hardware to run good VR and also be able to do the image recognition and tracking at the same time. So essentially, yeah, it looks like a headset with like a small bulbous thing in the back of your head, and apparently does room scale VR, and that's amazing. That's the combined piece of that news. We don't know when it's going to come to market. It's all a prototype right now, but that's still incredible that it's already in prototype and working, and people could actually put them on and get it to work. So that's the second piece of amazing news that came out of Oculus, further proving that companies can be garbage buyers, but they can still do amazing stuff. That's just weird. I don't know how to feel, honestly, about this. Darbleton.
Sweet.
Inside eye tracking stuff. Do you find the idea of a VR headset that doesn't need to use, well, maybe cables, we'll talk about that later, but more importantly, like lighthouses and all other kind of stuff, exciting?
That's pretty cool. I mean, like, that is one step closer to, like, getting in the mass populace's house. Like, it's, that way they don't need to set up those things, but, like, they still might need the space, but that's another challenge kind of thing. But, that's cool.
Yeah. Numerama, do you respect Oculus a little bit more now?
No, Valve's going to do the same thing, whatever.
Obviously.
Do you remember what Oculus said about the Oculus Rift, and none of it was really the case? Do you remember that?
Yes.
I remember that.
Fair. I think, you know what? You're right. There is some level of
salt.
I think this
is the ballpark of Inside Out and Wireless VR. Let's put it that way.
Nice. We'll find out. I actually kind of am more curious about this Inside Out tracking just being rolled into the standard Oculus, for example. I let my computer do all the bullshit. I don't care. For now, it still has to be wired. I get it. But just having to not worry about lighthouses and stuff is a big deal. Because I was thinking about getting a Vive recently just because of how poorly PSVR has reviewed in some respects. I'm probably not going to get one until V2 or the refresh, but which I assume is going to happen. But like the idea of me getting one is almost useless unless I can show it to other people as well. And the idea of like having to bring like fucking photography stands for those lighthouses to my friend's house or like that kind of stuff. Or like, cause you can't fucking screw it into the wall. So it has to be on like one of those like camera stands. bring a camera stand, like two camera stands, two lighthouses, and my computer to my friend's house just to show him fucking vibe stuff. Like, yeah, I might do that once ever in my life. Because it's just, yeah, way too cumbersome. But it was just like, okay, I can bring a laptop because of the specs are so much lower now. And a headset, which is just has one wire leading to the laptop, which I could potentially then put in a backpack. That sounds amazing. That sounds like it would work and be really interesting. Anyway, that's the good news. So medium news now. These are really quick. These are not going to take much time.
Yeah.
All right. First one is Oculus finally has parties. Yay. So like every other fucking thing ever. They're now closer to being a normal video game service in 2016 where you can have a party and talk to people while you play the games, irrespective of what you're playing. So essentially they built Skype into fucking Oculus stuff. So good for them. The second piece of medium, neutral news is WebVR. Or I don't know what they have a name for it. They have a weird fucking, you know, Facebook-y kind of name for it. But essentially, like, this is important, but like not, it has to actually be implemented first. And I don't know how big VR is going to get at this stage. But at the moment, for example, VR is distributed via things like the Oculus Store or the like Steam Store and all that kind of stuff. Or like if you want to have, you want to see YouTube 360 videos, you go to YouTube on like your PC and maybe find a 360 video and download it, or use the YouTube app on the Vive, I guess. I think it has one. I don't remember what their fucking weird like policies were, but you have to find a way to get 360 videos and so on playing on it. WebVR is essentially a twofold thing where it's breaking a VR construct down to a URL. So you could send someone to a web page and that will just launch a VR experience. That's kind of great. And secondly, you can have like, it seemed like it was like browser-based VR launchables. So it wouldn't just be like a video. You can actually have like an application that launches from this like browser kind of method. I don't know if that would work with Chrome because they launched it simultaneously with their like new internal Oculus browser, which is going to be the web browser for Oculus platform. So I don't know if it would work with Steam VR and Chrome, for example. But it's a cool concept. It's again like removing those barriers between you and more VR content, which is important, I guess. Can we get to the bad news? This is the fun stuff. All right. At the start of the year, they said Oculus Touch would be launching soon. Oculus Touch.
I think people are saying July. That was the date floating around. Do you remember when the Oculus Touch came out in July?
Yeah, man. To like uproarious applause and like changed the whole landscape for Oculus.
And I think it was only about what, like $25, $50?
It was $199. It's $99. It was clearly $99.
Yeah. And totally it includes affordable. Room scale. It includes room scale.
Yeah, it includes room scale. $99. It would
still be overall cheaper than the Rift. Exactly. Or the Vive. Sorry.
Exactly. You can get an Oculus headset. And a $99 like room scale attachment to get it up to.
That's what Oculus fanboys were saying. And if there's anything that's true, it is the Oculus fanboys and how correct they are.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So they finally announced what the fuck they've been up to with Touch. As far as we can tell, no real technological advancements since they started showing it, which I guess they just were like hammering out kinks in the meantime, which is fine.
There was a different kind of advancement, though.
Yeah, what was not fine was the price point for the Oculus Touch, and its limitations, which were also announced. So, Oculus Touch, to be fair, I actually don't think it's a ripoff. Like knowing what's in the package, I think it's fine. So you have two touch controllers. And a video camera, like the Oculus camera. is in the package. And you get two games. So two games, a camera, and the two touch controls. And that's $199.
So this makes it about the same price as the Vive, does it?
$1 cheaper.
$1 cheaper.
Score. Sold.
Score. Well, not really, because there's another aspect.
Exactly. The problem is when you look at that information in conjunction with the next piece of information of the fact that two cameras and the touch controllers isn't actually enough to do room scale VR. It is a small like sliver of what we actually thought this package was going to be, i.e. it essentially just enables you to use touch controllers. It doesn't do anything beyond that. Because their tracking solution is such that they need, or you need, a third camera to enable room scale VR.
Unsold.
And that third camera is $80 by itself. But let's just think about this for a goddamn second. Not only are you now paying $79 for the camera, so you're paying $78 more than a Vive, right? You have to have three cameras in your room at 120 degrees from each other. They had an image on their on the thing. So essentially, one has to be behind you, and two have to be like at your left and right of arc of like say between the two 120 degrees, right? Which is like, think of the world where you're capable of doing that, keeping in mind that the Oculus camera isn't fucking wireless.
Nope.
So you have to have a goddamn USB cable or something running between three different parts of your room to your computer. And I think you might even need a power cable for each as well. Like I'm pretty sure you need a power cable for those cameras. I'm not certain about that one. But you definitely need a USB cable coming from three different locations in your room to your computer to get room scale working. So not only is it overpriced, considering their initial estimate, I think it's fair, relatively speaking, but it's still well over their initial estimate. It's a reduced capability for the actual base bundle, not being room scale, and it's a distinctly worse solution than the HTC Vive. It is three losers in a row of how bad this is. It's just sad. It's just sad. Like, I was just looking at it like, wow, you just fucked up. You done fucked up. You didn't. To be fair, they're kind of constrained to this because, like, anyone looking at it was already going, well, how do you track it perfectly if your body occludes your hand controllers from your two cameras, which means you kind of have to have two cameras at opposite sides of your body, but then you lose your translational accuracy of your findings because you're not getting that you're not getting that triangulation if something's in front of you and behind you. So everyone was already like, I wonder how they can get this to work. Well, it turns out they couldn't get it working. So yeah, you need three cameras, which is just fucking annoying. So yeah, in every way, it's worse. It's more expensive for a full room scale experience. It's a equivalent headset, but it's way lamer to set up because the great thing about the light hoses is just chuck them into a power source. You sync them once, and then you chuck them into a power source. From there on, it just has that one wire. So it may as well be a wireless solution. Fuck. Overall, this is shit. The hand controls seem cool, though. I don't know. They're still promising, I guess.
I guess it's just wait. Like, just wait for a couple of years, and soon they'll be usable.
Yeah. I'm probably just going to wait for the next Vive. Not this one, but they'll probably figure some shit out between now and
then. I don't even think it's the next one. I might wait maybe the generation after that, probably.
I'm hoping they figure out how to reduce the cost of it.
Yeah. I just cheaper. Want to be able to have games that look good.
Yep, and work well.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts? That's the last of our news this week. finally at the end of it. Doubleton?
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One final like thing in VR, probably maybe even for the last time this year. Doubleton, what's your current status? Interested, not interested, buying, not buying?
I'm about as interested in it as I was for, like, you know, buying a phone. It's something that I'll probably end up doing, but it's
going to... 8 years from now.
Yeah, 8 years yeah. from now, I'll finally get on that train.
Yep. Noobarama,
your VR status? Lucky's Tale is my game of the year.
Personally, I'm questioning. None of these products fit the bill. So I might wait for next year's revisions and see how they look.
Can't even play fucking Summer Lesson in this country.
Exactly.
Get out of here.
The fuck?
Get the fuck out of here.
And if you do, it'll make you sick.
For yeah. the
wrong reasons. For the wrong reasons. You want it to make you sick.
Yeah.
But you don't, not just like
not physically. For those reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If like an emotional and mental sickness, not a physical sickness.
So yeah, my segment's done. Doubleton, back to you. As
sweet.
Well.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you, Newsman Cynic. I guess, yeah, at this point, we'll jump into what we've been playing and then take a quick break maybe in between there. But Cynic, you've talked enough for now. We'll give you a break from that. Noobarama, have you been playing anything new lately? Or no. I know you talk no.
Okay. No.
I wasn't sure.
No, I've been working.
Be
and
nice,
I've been going to school. And okay. I've been drinking.
Yep, okay.
Not necessarily in that order. Sometimes I drink during my breaks at work. Sometimes I drink between school and work. And sometimes I bring my alcohol to school.
It sounds like you're getting like a dependency going. This is kind of concerning you.
Oh my god. Oh, I think I'm like addicted to cigarettes.
What?
What? Like, I smoked a little bit in high school, but I'm just like, so...
Are you kidding, or are you not kidding?
I'm not even kidding.
You're smoking now? Kidding. Is that what's happened?
I smoked a little bit in high school, mm-hmm. right? And now I'm just like, okay, I just need a cigarette.
So here's the deal. At least vape.
I'm not going to vape. That's a mouth fedora.
Vape.
I would rather have lung cancer than be wearing a mouth fedora.
That's
no
thing. Stupid thing
I
to
would
say.
Rather just not have lung cancer.
Yeah, no, it's like I'm not actually addicted to smoking, but I only if I don't smoke 6 times a week or 6 times a day, I start shaking, and then. But I'm not addicted.
I'm not actually addicted to smoking. I'm just kind of addicted to smoking.
Yeah. No. 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 Like I've taken up casual smoking. I didn't build the dependency when I first smoked. I'm not going to build the dependency now.
Like, in the end, your body, right? But, like, fucking don't beat around the books. You're now addicted to smoking. Well done.
Yeah, it's again
not,
your body,
I'm
but
not,
also at the same time,
it's
like.
I haven't smoked in 4 days.
Uh huh.
I haven't smoked in 4 days. Actually, I smoked today. But
uh-huh. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Before then, I didn't smoke for 4 days.
Are you fucking listening to yourself?
But I drink and I smoke and I play video games sometimes.
So you're saying is you're in politics.
Well, I finally beat the what is it? The third episode of Hitman I beat it as in the only way I play Hitman is by clearing the entire level of every NPC.
Every living being aside from yourself.
I took a screenshot of it and I killed in Makaresh 496 AI.
That's a lot of AI. Actually, yeah, that makes sense. That map is pretty big, actually. Okay. I've been doing a little bit of Hitman. I guess we'll jump over to what I've been playing since. Yeah.
He was just been playing, ruining his life. One
yes.
step.
Ruining his life, 2016 edition. Oh, jeez. But yeah, I played a little bit of Hitman. I haven't done the Marrakesh maps. I haven't done a lot of new maps, but I've been revisiting some of the older ones, doing some of the. Did you ever do any of the, like, I don't know what the term for them are, but they have, like...
Like, the side missions, I know what you mean.
Yeah, like, the side mission. It's, you have to kill a certain person that is not the
I think it's called contracts
target.
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but you have to also do it, like, usually in a typical manner of...
Yeah.
Kill him with a certain outfit, with a certain weapon, and then you have to do it 5 times in a row, and each incremental time, they up the ante a little bit. Like, oh, you have to hide all dead bodies in 90 seconds, or
you have
this additional contact you also have to kill, or you have to like leave the map in like in 5 minutes or something. They do a neat enough thing so that it's a little interesting every time, but it's not the ones I've been doing. I've been doing the easy ones. It's been fun, but not too challenging. But it's to get more rewards to unlock stuff for that map for next time I do a elusive target. It's fun. Hitman's all right.
Yeah.
It's an all right game.
It's a good game. Yeah. It's definitely up there for me.
It'll probably make my list, but probably like the lower five, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what the end of the year discussion ends up being.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of the things. Next little light thing. You'll be happy to hear this, noob. Started playing Arma 3 again.
Yeah. I've been playing a little bit of that too. It's good.
I have a coworker who I play Overwatch with, and he's like, "Hey, you want to play some Overwatch?" Like, no, I'm playing Arma. The tick just started happening right away. I'm just like, you play Arma. So reinstall that and take in the deep dive again. Hopefully, it won't consume me wholly, but we'll see. We'll see.
Hopefully not.
The new Tanoa map's all right. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it's fun on the ground. It runs like ass. It's a lot of it seems very similar, but at the same time, the overall theme of just you're in the jungle is readily apparent all the time.
I actually like the urban areas a lot. It's a lot more vertical in its urban areas, like skyscrapers, stuff like that.
I haven't spent a ton of time in there.
Yeah. I don't think. It's just difficult because I said before where it's difficult to justify a $40 thing for a map, right?
Yeah.
And especially when there's like community maps available, but this is just a different level of detail. And it's difficult to compare this with a mod.
It makes me want Bohemia to do like a World War II map. I'd know two ways around it. I'd love for them to do a World War II map.
Yeah.
There's community ones made out there, but they're just not the same polish.
No.
But yeah, the other quick thing I have, there's a couple of games I've been playing as well as a TV show, which I'm sure it looks like Cynic has also been talking about TV shows. But Downwell, I talked about it previously. I beat it. Game is done. I got to the bottom of the well.
It has an ending? I thought it was like one of those endless things.
No, it's a four world thing, and then when you get to the after the last world, there's a boss that you have to outlast and go back through the four remaining worlds. It's a very challenging fight. So much so that like 2 weeks before I, in my book, officially beat it, I had killed the boss in the same instance of time that he had killed me. So it was one of those things of like not technically getting it, but actually seeing the door get open, but just not having enough health to actually crawl through. So yeah, I finally beat it with like one health remaining. It was very epic. I wish I was recording it, but I'm free. I'm free of the demon.
Done.
It's done.
Now, you know what that means, right? You're just going to find another.
Oh yeah.
Rogue-esque/ difficult ongoing game challenge.
Great. Nice. Can't wait. Knock that out.
Any idea what's in your sights?
No idea. We'll see what
I kind of want you to play. I kind of want to play Fury.
Fury?
Yeah, I kind of want you to play Fury.
Okay. Well,
it's the one by the Afro Samurai like dude. It's like this dude with this, it's just five. I think it's like five boss fights or whatever. But each boss fight is half an hour.
Okay.
And it's each there's a quick look of it with Dan Reichert and someone else. I forget who. I think it was maybe Brad. Which means you get to see Brad's fantastic ability to play Dark Souls S games on camera. But yeah, it looks fucking amazing.
It's a really nice sense of style. We'll check it out. That's it for the quickies. The other game I've been playing, and it's still a thing that is like. It's a long ways off, but I've been playing a game called Oberland. which was, I think, first shown to the grand public during E3, I want to say, maybe. Maybe a little bit before then, but it's a very neat game. Like, the art style, it's reminds me a lot, actually, of... what was the... something Chalice, the Devil Fine game.
Massive Chalice.
Oh, is it? Yeah. No. It's the other one.
It reminds
Broken
me of that.
Age.
Not Broken Age.
it reminds me a lot of if Massive Chalice was taken into a... If Massive Chalice is XCOM, then Overland is the... Invisible Ink. So it is a game where you only play as, like, I think up to, like, you know, an average of 3 to 6 players. It's not like a whole army you're commanding and choosing for every mission. And it's a thing of just like the end of the world has happened and you have to move west, kind of thing. There are aliens that happen, but it's otherwise a turn-based strategy game in which every level is just a square grid that is a point in your journey in which you have to get out of the car to, like, scrounge for supplies, get gasoline, either, like, you maybe have abandoned your vehicle and have to find a new one. And the pitfalls that challenge you are when you make a bunch of noise, you will get the attention of, I presume aliens, but whatever the hostile creatures are that have, like, destroyed humanity kind of thing.
Right.
And some of them are, you know, very often, like, already present. When you take them out, more will appear. So it's the thing of, like, every time you go into a level, you have a little bit of wiggle room of, like, when you need to get out of town kind of thing, get out of Dodge. But it's the thing of, like, you race the clock of, like, work that balance of getting the most amount of supplies and whatnot versus not getting your crew damaged, not getting your vehicle damaged, not staying too long to just be overwhelmed by a swarm.
Right.
And then just keep heading west. And then once you get out of that level, then it's an overworld map of, like, here are your destinations and the amount of fuel it takes to, like, go on this detour. And so, yeah, it's a very neat game. It's not fully complete right now. I think they're only up to the Great Plains kind of thing. It takes place in the USA, of course. But it's available on itch.io. It's a very neat game. By all means, feel free to wait until it's, you know, feature complete and on Steam proper kind of thing. But I want to support the developers and see, and actually, like, this is one of the games I wanted to see the development of it done. So I checked it out. And it's very cool. It's fun.
Nice.
Yeah. One of the things I like about the game is not only are there humans that you can control, you can also befriend and ally dogs and have them just, like, nice. Go around and you know, they'll fight the little creatures and carry stuff for you, and they just look adorable, and it's the best.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Overland. It's a cool game. Check it out. I think Giant Bomb have done. If they haven't done, I'm pretty sure they are on good terms of just, like, they think it's a cool thing.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the last thing for me, I guess, is I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh my god. What?
Yeah, I just...
The things that are currently on the various, like, video delivery services.
I mean, I already watched Stranger Things.
I know, but what strange... You went for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is it good, at least?
It's okay. It's okay. All right, but at the same... It's the proper level of... This is not that good, but also I want to keep watching.
Right. Nice.
It's the kind of thing, I guess, that, like, you can tell it's comic book writers, maybe. Or, like, you know, the inspired comic writers. Because it's just good enough that, like, oh, yeah, I'll watch the next episode while I'm, like, you know, playing a game or something. It's
nice.
Yeah. It's all right. It's good. It's good in a bad way.
Yeah. Sure. I've yet to watch a single episode. Maybe I'll watch some. I don't know. Gotham's all right, so I don't know.
Okay. That's the thing is, like, I'm doing the Netflix thing of, like, you know, just checking out, like, do I want to watch Luke Cage? And I figured, like, well, if I'm going to do that, maybe I should try and, like, check out some of the previous ones first of, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Jessica Jones, just so I have a good understanding of what the like, what its moment in time, start time is in relation to all the others.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of haven't had a good track record with DC stuff, DC media, as of late.
It's shit. It's garbage. That's why. It's on them.
Okay, then yeah, that's probably why I haven't tried watching Gotham or Supergirl.
Gotham's
or,
okay.
Who knows? But yeah, it's a good show.
Nice. Cool.
That's me. What you been up to, Cynic?
All right. Speaking, I'm just gonna like hammer off on this quick show thing. I finally got around to Stranger Things, finally, and aside from the fact that I'm 2 months late on it, so I don't really want to say too much about it because everyone's probably heard it before. Everyone was right. I'll say that as my first statement.
As in, like, everyone it's good.
Yeah, everyone who told me, "Oh my god, Stranger Things is amazing! You should watch Stranger Things." Yep, you're right. That show is fantastic. It's goddamn incredible. Everyone should watch it. I don't know. I know it's for everyone, but it's as close as fucking for everyone as I can goddamn think of. Like, in the same way that fucking good movies are for everyone, like E.T. is for everyone. Or, I don't know. I wouldn't call it a kid's. Like, it's not like E.T. It's not quite for kids, like E.T. is. But man. I don't remember what your impressions were of it, but I am a massive, massive fan of it. Like everyone said, I would be. So
yeah, it's a really good mix of just like stuff that I enjoyed when I was younger, of inspirations of like, hey, it's got a lot of X-Files to it. It's got that kind of that Super 8 feel of just the era and all that, as well as Twin Peaks a little bit. I mean, like it just not a lot of Twin Peaks. But just enough so that then they, like, you know, replace it with just D&D kind of stuff. And like, oh, great. This is even better.
So good.
So good.
So good. As a person who's a massive fan of Dungeons & Dragons, they don't do it all. That's not overly done. But, like, they do it just enough that it gives me that warm feeling.
Yeah. I have to say, I really enjoyed when I was at PAX Prime back in September. Just, like, I didn't see a lot. But the number of Stranger Things cosplay that I saw was just like, oh, right on.
Yeah.
That's good. That's
so good. Oh, the kids are great. No. I don't want to go about it too much. I will say that, that girl who everyone cares about, not Elle. The one, that's my problem with it. Not Elle. It's the one everyone's fucking talking about. It's the dumb,
the older sister or
no, the one who like,
the older sister's friend. Yeah.
The older sister's friend. I probably should have said she died. I don't know. It's been 2 months. Whatever. Get over it. Nancy? No, not Nancy. Nancy's the older sister.
It's fine.
Her friend. Fuck her. Who cares? Who the hell cares? I don't get it. I don't. Oh, I was so annoyed because my favorite characters in that show don't get anywhere near as much airtime as people complaining about some weird side character that no one cares about.
I mean, I felt bad, but that's pretty much it.
That's
since like Game of Thrones made it a big thing of just like, yeah, people you care about will die.
But I didn't. She was just a wet blanket. She was like, what? No. Like, she was just like the stupid, like, fucking boilerplate nerd girl. But she wasn't even, because she wasn't particularly smart about anything she did that night. She died because she did a dumb thing and continued to do dumb things the rest of the night. So, whatever. Fuck that girl. Anyway. Yeah. Take that. Society. I don't know. But no, 11 was amazing. Yes, you're right. She's my favorite character. 11's the best. Strangely, actually, might be one of my, probably my favorite TV show
I'm excited to hear that they are doing a second season, but also at the same time, it's like, they ended it hoping, like, they designed it ending it hoping they would get a second season, in my opinion, rather than, like, putting a nice bow on everything.
After I finished, I watched nothing about it before watching it. And then after it finished, I watched, like, fucking 8 hours of stuff about things.
Yeah.
All the things. Because it's only 9 hours long. I thought it was 13 episodes, and when it ended at 9, I'm like, what? Ah! That's awesome! But also, I hate you so much. And I watched it in one sitting. Like, straight up, I started watching at... I intended to watch one episode. I started watching at 12-ish on a Monday, or a public holiday. And I just kept watching till night. I went to the toilet once. I didn't eat. That good. I fucking loved it. Anyway, moving on. That's old news. People out there who still are like, that's Stranger Things. I don't know. People didn't talk about it. No. Yes. Go watch it, you assholes. Like me. So being an asshole like me.
People who are waiting on the Cynic vote. It is in.
It's in. Everyone else was right. You didn't have to wait for the Cynic vote. That's the Cynic vote. Then finally, in terms of TV shows, Luke Cage. So watch that. Man.
It's good.
Well, I enjoyed it. It quite a bit. I enjoyed it quite a bit. But that isn't the discussion topic that's been around Luke Cage, and I don't know where I sit on it. And this is kind of why I need a political opinion, which means obviously I'm going to ask Numerama. So, Numerama, what is your opinion of a TV show where almost everyone is black?
Okay.
Being called racist because there's not enough white characters.
That's dumb.
Why, though? Why is that dumb?
I think any show that has too little of whatever race characters, it's not racist. If it's relevant to the plot and it makes sense within the frame of the world, it's not racist.
Thank you. Because that's... I don't think that's what racism is. By definition, lack of diversity isn't, by proxy, racism.
No.
That's not the same thing. Like, you idiots. That's not what that means. But that said, I did actually think it was a bit too black. Like, I'm the third party to all this. I'm fucking Indian, right? Indian of descent. So I didn't get represented by anyone. It's like someone like fucking Raj in like the that TV show about nerds, like fucking
what about
whatever.
Bollywood,
exactly. Or Bollywood. We're like the if an Indian is in anything, he's most likely the most fucking stereotypical Indian with the thickest accent physically possible. It is the worst, but I'm fine with it because it's funny, right? Like whatever. So as a third party to all this. My favorite thing about Luke Cage, aside from the fact that it was actually quite enjoyable and quite a good show, was this discussion happening around it. Because of both sides, like it's very interesting seeing what the black community's reaction has been of like some like the word like it actually came up during the show of like I think the words were there's something incredible about seeing a black man who's bulletproof. And I'm like, wow, that's actually really that's kind of on the nose. That's being a bit topical, isn't it? I don't know. Or maybe not. Maybe that's an endemic issue. But seeing white people react to it and black people react to it positively and seeing that discourse has been very interesting to me as a third party. But as a third party, I can also take the point to look at it and go, wait, no, this was just kind of ludicrous. Like, it was pretty much too black. There were the one main white character in it is the bad guy. He's probably like the big bad guy because he's like behind a lot of stuff that goes on, which actually is kind of like, you know, sideways a shot at how white people, blah, 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 control the world, blah, 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 right? And at the same time, like it was kind of like my problems with Jessica Jones in that my problem with Jessica Jones isn't that she's a powerful female hero. It's that the evil dude is essentially patriarchy personified. He is a white man in his like 30s/40s who can tell people to do things and they have to do it. It is annoyingly patriarchy. He's made it will be called Patriarchy Man, and the show should be Jessica Jones Fights Patriarchy. Like, it was like the it was the thinnest veil over everything. And this kind of felt like the same thing. It felt like it pushed its political agenda too hard. It was all about black people and just about black people. And every time it came up, someone would say a black superhero. It wasn't about being a superhero. It was about being a black superhero. Like, I found it really weird. I found it a really weird
TV show. I've not seen this movie, so I can't lend my opinion.
Yeah.
But not movie, TV show, whatever.
Why does everything got to be about race? Or some, why does everything have to be about issue? Why couldn't you just have a cool fucking superhero thing? Anyway, I guess Punisher is still my favorite of these Netflix.
You got to elevate it beyond just entertainment for fucking nerds.
But you do that by not making an issue.
Yeah, like,
that's how you elevate something, is by making it not an issue, as it should be. Anyway, finally, Phoenix Wright. I finally finished it. This is my last thing. The last case is pretty great. I really liked it. As is always the fact with these games, where it's like kind of all over the place and not particularly fantastic, but the last case is usually good. The last case was so big, it was essentially two cases slammed together. It took me like fucking 5 to 10 hours or something. And it was great. Like, it actually got a couple of tears from me as well. Like, that, there's something about Phoenix Wright that like makes you care about some of the characters, even though they're stupid and wacky and crazy and things are going on, like none of it makes sense. There's magic and all this kind of crazy stuff, like you in a courtroom, like none of it makes sense, but it made me care and things got real, and it ended in a really interesting note that says a lot about the next Phoenix Wright game, and I was really happy with it. It's by no means a 10 out of 10 game. I'll probably give it like a 7 or 8 out of 10, but it's great. I'm really happy with Phoenix Wright. People who have liked Phoenix Wright games, play it. If you haven't played a Phoenix Wright game, I'd still say just play the first one on iOS or something. That's still the best of the series, I think. And that's it for me.
Woo! Sweet. Yay. Very cool. Glad to hear it.
Yay.
I don't know. I kind of want to get into direct, like, you know, detective games, but at the same time, it seems like it's either like just a, you know, pretty basic puzzle or all the way L.A. Noir, and it's hard to find a middle ground, I guess. But I'm glad you're having a good time. Like, Phoenix Wright does good work, so I've heard.
So good.
Yeah.
But very Japanese.
Cool. Yeah, we will take a quick break, and then we'll, after the break, post-break, we'll do like a little topic that actually shouldn't take too long, and then go into plugs. But we'll be right back after this. And we're back. I would have liked to gotten Squiddle as well for this, but and Durin, can't forget Durin.
Durin's sick.
No, yes, yeah, Durin is sick. Squiddle is busy recording other podcasts at the moment, so it's no problem. Just, again, scheduling conflict, but moving on. I wanted to get some feelers from you guys because we are getting close to Game of the Year. And something I'm trying to do to avoid pitfalls from previous Game of the Years is I want to get, like, I guess a little bit of a feeler for just a couple of ideas that maybe games you guys are going to make a good case for.
Okay.
That
all right, so the ones we're actually going to fight for.
Yes, ones you might make a fight for the all top right. of the list that, like, it's always the annoying thing of trying to make an argument when you don't have all the facts. Like, if you think of a book club, everyone gets together having read the book, and then at that point they can start discussing the actual merits of the book rather than like what was the story about versus what was the other story about kind of thing. And
yeah,
if you guys want to share some games you're passionate about for this year, and I'll give three of mine. Maybe we'll have some time that since it is only October right now
to you know what?
Maybe
fuck
play
it.
Some of the stuff.
I've finished my recent like massive amount of work from actual work.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a lot of free time coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. both of your number one stunners.
Okay.
Within the next month.
Sweet.
So pick your number ones carefully. I will play it this year. Oh, if it's, if I've already played it, I'll play your number two, whatever.
Yeah, I think the one I'd want you to play the most, because the one I want, like, the one I would make the most case for is my number one.
Yeah, just add that as an addendum when
you
go through.
It's currently the highest on my list. But, yeah, I'll go first with this. But, yeah, like, the main intent is just to get, like, I'm going to say what my three are, the one I'll probably, at this point, like, make the biggest fights for, to give you guys a chance to maybe play it, you know, sink, like, you know, a couple hours into it, maybe do a joint stream kind of thing so no one, like, everyone doesn't have to empty their pocketbooks, but, yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry, I have one veto. I'm not playing Overwatch. So.
No problem.
You're not playing what?
I'm not playing Overwatch.
I'm not playing Overwatch. Fuck that.
Like, and it's weird coming to terms with, like, this might be one of my games of the year. But yeah, one of them is Overwatch. Like, it's really fun. It's the game I've been returning to and having a ton of fun playing with friends. I love, like, there's certainly, like, some game design stuff I would like, tweak here and there, but that's just, you know, Blizzard and balance.
It's amazing.
It's good enough. Yeah. It's a always constantly changing thing just to keep it, like, a fresh spice in it, but I love all the different characters' designs. I love the fact that the game is just overly positive. I love all the stuff Blizzard has been doing, like, because it's an online multiplayer game. The community and, like, the mentality of that is an integral part to if you want to enjoy the game. That's why one of the reasons why I don't play League of Legends anymore, because everyone knows the League of Legends community is just the most hostile, volatile thing. And I don't know if you know this, but in one of the recent updates, they made it so that when people type GGEZ, it replaces that text with just the most hilarious things that just, like, oh, I'm sorry, I need to go change my diaper kind of thing, or oh, my mom is telling me I need to go to sleep now.
I'm so happy about that. Yeah, Duren brought it up a couple episodes ago. It's good.
It's really good. Yeah. And so, yeah, like, Blizzard taking a stance of, like, no, we don't want this to become a crapshoot. Mm-hmm. It's Overwatch. I'm having a good time with it. Next thing on the list, Hyper Light Drifter. It's the thing that, like, of indie games, I would probably make the best case for it in terms of just, like, it's super well designed, looks great with its art style, the, like, story, especially the ending of it, was...
You finally
really
got
good.
The 60 FPS patch.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
The development of that game, the fact that they were still, like, it's a small team of, like, you know, you probably count on two hands, but they were still patching it, like, up into the minute where they were, the day they were posting it to Steam and all the online servers is like, hey, this is going to be an hour late because we didn't figure it would take this long to upload to Steam.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a really good game. I had a wonderful time with it, and, like, the ending of it was the kind of thing of, like, okay, I need to sit down and process this.
Mm-hmm.
Not in terms of, like, any big lore dump kind of thing, but just, like, everything that, like, the sensory input that they shoot you with.
Right.
Was really good. Really good delivery of that. And then the last game I've at least on my current list, who knows, there might be other stuff that I will now be wanting to experience that might replace this, but Dr. Langoskov, The Tiger and the Terribly Cursed Emerald, subtitled A Whirlwind Heist.
Mm-hmm.
It's so... In years past, everyone, like, a really good example of, like, hey, you're not new to games... Or, like, you know, like, oh, hey, here's a neat little side thing you should try. Portal. Like, Portal 1 was, still is, a really cool game for just, like, oh, hey, it's 3 hours. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's funny.
I think it's a kind of, like, a shoe-in for Game of the Generation. Well, it's not in the top 10, Portal, the Games of the Generation last year.
It really left a mark. And it was a good thing that, like, regardless of your interests, like, anybody could jump into that game and have a good time.
Yep.
And still this year, like, Dr. Langoskov is the only game that has made me just crack up laughing. Which, not like, you know, most games don't try to do.
Still on my desktop, and I still haven't even booted it up.
And yeah, it is only, like, and I realize it probably, of the three games I have, it probably has the least chance of getting, in the top five of the ScotchCast Game of the Year list. But it's a game that like I really enjoyed, and it's a thing that like I'm having a tough time like finding faults with.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just it was a really well made thing. Like other than people might make the argument of like, oh, it's a walking simulator,
right?
But like you interact plenty with it and you have a good time. I don't know. It was a fun time.
Nice. Cool. So yeah. Which of those is the one you were thinking of that you needed hours to play?
Like, the one, yeah, that Hyper Light Drifter would probably be like the one I'd say right. You guys should try. Especially,
I will play it by the end of the month. I've got 21 days.
Yeah.
Making that call, making that commitment.
Excellent. Cynic, yeah, what do you got?
My top three is fucking easy. So, number three on this list, as a stunner, is Doom. If either of you were to enter this death pack with me,
I need to play one of my games. Squiddle would also probably be saying I should play it, and it's the thing I should drop the
assholes need to play fucking Doom. It's my number three.
I have a 970. I have a good video card.
Yeah,
it's not a 1070.
It's like all craziness. It can run on anything.
It's not as good as Noobs, but I do have a good video card.
Yeah,
this year I can say.
So worth playing, and I think anyone would like any like dyed in the wood gamer, whether you like story or just shooting things. And the story side, like you kind of have to appreciate minimalistic and like just funny off the wall stuff. Like that's the side of Doom.
It's kind of like its Destiny story, but also poking fun at itself.
Exactly, and it makes it totally like lovable. The second one, it's actually, I think, probably going to be a major contender at the end of the year because most of us have played it, most of us have liked it, is Dark Souls 3.
Okay.
I just fucking love that game. I think it's the best Souls game except for maybe the first one, but like thinking back to the first one, a lot of that was a time and place thing. If I was to play that today, I'd say Dark Souls 3 is better. So I think Dark Souls is the epitome of that subgenre that fucking From Software has made for themselves, and it's just incredible. I love that game. I loved the Storm King fight. Memorable as all hell. Mm-hmm. But more important, I really loved the I forget his name. Like, he had a weird name, but like the first fight in the game, the time you refight that guy later in the game, that one I loved. Just a fucking balls to the wall brawl of you and a big dude. He roundhouse kicks you and shit. It's the best. Like, it's such a good fucking
Yeah, in Junior. Yeah, the weird name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weird name. Yep. He's just a knight who, and all, it's just you and him in an arena and you fight. It was no fucking fancy shit, no transformations, nothing crazy, just a fucking brawl. It was a good fight. One of my favorite in the series. And then my number one is almost goes without saying, Uncharted 4. I'm not going to ask anyone else to play that game because I don't know if that game is like in your guys' wheelhouses.
So I have a PS4.
I'd push Doom as the game you guys would play that you'd like. But Uncharted 4 is my game of the year, and it will be very difficult to topple. So.
That's very cool. Very cool. And Noob. Even if this makes your list, this all started with you talking so much about Hitman on previous podcasts, and just like, you know what, a lot of people are talking about it. If he like of the games we've talked about this year, it seems like that will at least probably make your list of your top 10.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to start out by saying my top 10 is very much liable to change, just because Titanfall.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
South Park and Battlefield.
South Park isn't coming this year anymore.
Yeah, and of course my most anticipated game, Watch Dogs 2, is always right around the corner.
Oh, I can't.
This is a very, very, very limited list. So far, this is like straight up like my top three because like fuck, this game this year wasn't great so far. Okay, I guess I'll start with my number three. It's The Division. I don't want any of you to play it.
Oh my god, and that is on your top three?
Okay, what I'm saying is I like Stardew Valley. That probably might have been my top three.
I would be, because I'm going to play that at some point.
But my problem is, like, it's a good game. Like, The Division, it's a solid game. It's something I can sink my time into, and it's something I can see myself getting back when I'm bored, right, of other stuff.
Yeah.
And it looks nice. I can finally play it. It runs finally well, and there's going to be updates, etc. And it's just a solid game. And I don't expect this to make the top 10. And I don't want to push it to make the top 10 because I live in reality. But I'm just going to say this right now is my third favorite game of the year.
Okay, sure.
Number two is, I don't know if I can include this, Grim Dawn.
Which one was that?
Came out this year.
Okay.
It is probably the best Diablo clone that exists.
Grim Dawn.
Okay. Grim Dawn.
Cool.
It has more of a... It has, like, the dark feel of Diablo 2.
Oh, right. And it kind of looks like one of those Van Helsing games, but isn't.
Yes. But it's good. It's better than Diablo 3. It's really interesting skill tree system. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed Grim Dawn. I have an extra copy of this game. So whoever wants it, I can give it to them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Depends whether you want me to play this or your next game more.
Well, my number one by far, by like leaps and bounds, is Hitman. It's my game of the year, and it's probably going to stay that way.
Yeah.
I'm sure about this. Right. And if there's one game I'm going to push to be number one, it's going to be fucking Hitman.
Man, number one's going to be fucked because all of us like very different games.
Yes, but I'm sure I can convince a couple people to get on my side. I'll say that. But if there's one game, just because it's more accessible, I would say Grim Dawn. But in terms of being able to pick it up, but Hitman is definitely my game of the year, and I will push that very,
very.
Of
those two, I will probably like Grim Dawn more, and already know that I'll be fine with you arguing for Hitman, so I'll probably play Grim Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sweet,
that's
yeah.
That's ours.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, like I said, it'd be a quick thing. Yeah, next we'll go up to plugs, and I'm pretty sure Cynic has got one set up for us. Cynic, do you have any plugs?
It's a difficult plug. Because they don't have a fucking name for it yet.
Yeah, that's true. The website should be coming soon, I think, right?
Hey, shut up. It's not going to come anytime soon. Austin Walker, Patrick Klepek, and a bunch of dudes are at Vice Gaming. We've talked about them before on the show. It's like vice.com/gaming or something. The problem is, Vice Gaming already has a monthly podcast, which is called the Vice Gaming Podcast. But Austin Walker and Patrick Klepek, being not in the UK, have their own podcast. And if anyone knows them from the Time of Giant Bomb, they are two fascinating dudes who I love hearing, or many of us love hearing talk about video games. Assuming they're not talking about fucking, like, political issues. Like,
yeah, which is exactly why everything about this I don't like.
Yeah.
It's
like,
on
when
Vice,
they're not talking about things like women in gaming, they are incredible to listen to. And if you're into those topics, then they're also good for that. I'm personally not, because I don't care. They have their own podcast. It doesn't have a name yet. I'm pretty sure it's still under the Vice Gaming Podcast kind of moniker, so that's what I put in the plugs list here. But if you go to vice.com/gaming, you'll see like the latest episode of the Vice Gaming Podcast, and usually has like Austin Walker and blah, blah, blah. I know this is a really archaic way of finding the new podcast. By the moment, if you go to their website and look at the front page, there's, I think, at least one of those posts will be for the podcast, because it's twice a week, 1 hour each. And it's fantastic. It's Austin and Patrick. They have a great format. It's really short and succinct, but also goes into quite a bit of depth, and I always have an interesting topic at the end so far.
I'll also say that if anybody gets their podcast via iTunes, I'm sure elsewhere as well, but there it. So to discern the two podcasts, the UK one that comes out once a month is Vice Gaming Podcast, and the one by Patrick and Austin is Vice Gaming's new podcast. Same icon, great. Everything is the same, except for that.
Great. Fantastic.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, that's my plug. They're great. It's a great podcast.
Sweet. Yeah. New Rama, do you have a plug?
Gaming Hub. All right. Yeah.
Maybe don't spend an entire day drinking. Pro tip, pro life plug.
Don't I smoke. Feel fine. I'm just tired.
Don't smoke. Hey, guys, if you're at home, don't follow Noob's example. That's my plug.
Yeah, just you should just take up vaping instead.
Yeah, just vape.
Vaping, no. Don't wear that mouth fedora.
My plug will be for... So, another podcast is the Jen and Tren of Employees of Cards Against Humanity do a friendship podcast. Which, yeah, it's a nice thing. It's a nice listen. But they have done a Kickstarter, not for their podcast, but just for a really cool idea that they still got 18 days to go at the time of this recording. So probably by the time we post it, like 15 days to go, because we're great at turning around on this. But basically, it's 15 unique cards. You get doubles, so there's 30 total, I want to say. It's 30 unique cards doubled to a box of 60. And it's really neat things of like, really neat designed by a series of artists. And it's like, often fill in the blank of like, I'm sorry, we haven't talked in a while. I've been busy, distracted, tired, fill in the blank. This is me reaching out again because I think you're great.
Aww.
It's
these are adorable.
Yeah, they're really well done, and it's a neat take on like the sending a card to a friend, like getting that physical thing in the mail, and it speaks more to, a younger generation, maybe just an informal generation, just like hey, let's just be real.
Like this is adorable. I also have deep problems with it.
Oh yeah.
Because like this isn't how you solve your problems. Like you don't like yes it is.
No,
like, I guess
it's not how you solve
your
problems.
There's way better ways to do this.
It's how you keep a dialogue going or how you start a dialogue after a rough patch.
Oh man. But like but being able to do that based I have problems with it, but it's adorable and I support it.
Yep. My plug is gonna be for that Kickstarter, but yeah, by all means just feel free to just check out their podcast as well. They're on a whole different level than we are, so it's fine. Cool. Other than that, thank you for listening to another episode of the Scotchcast. You can find us at scotchcast.cool. Still can't believe we got that website.
Yay!
On Twitter at looking to Cynic at the real Scotchcast?
At the real Scotchcast.
At the real
or
Scotchcast.
Or still at the Lincolncast. Mm-hmm.
So. Or if you have any questions, you can either message us there or send us an email at
therealscotchcast@gmail.com.
Thank you, Cynic. thanks for listening.
Happy Canadian Thanksgiving, everyone.
Don't let those fake Scotch asses get in the way.
We're the real Scotchcast. Where we drink Noob, you never said what have you been drinking? Just no Bailey's. Yeah, where we drink Bailey's and
Bailey's.
Cider.
I drink Mill Street Brewery beer. It's very good. I had some rum and Coke.
I've been drinking water this episode.
Yeah, but
it'd be nice. It's like a refreshing thing called water. They just invented it.
No beer has less water.